situation there, as well as Greg Thompson, who's online from Fairbanks, I believe. First of all, just brief history. The McLaughlin Youth Center opened in 1968. It's the state's largest youth facility. It has a capacity of 150 beds. This fall, it's been running an average census of 180 beds. In January, I think George will attest that the census has been running about 190 in the facility, drastically overcrowded. The Fairbanks Youth Center was built in 1981. It has a capacity of 40 beds, and it's basically running at about 100% of capacity. I brought just some aerial photos just so that you can see the two facilities. This is the McLaughlin Youth Center on Providence Drive. You can see when it was built, both of these youth facilities were built basically as residential facilities. We have no perimeter security at all in either the McLaughlin Youth Center or in particular even the Fairbanks Youth Center. You can see there's really no protection like an adult correctional facility with our youth facilities. Last summer and this fall, there have been several incidents that have occurred where there were attempts to basically break in to the facility to get some of the youth out of the facility. And we were concerned about those and hired a security consultant to come in and look at those two facilities. He did a very good job. A well-known security consultant nationally came and did the study. We did not provide that confidential report as part of the backup because we didn't want security weaknesses sort of out in the public record, but we do have reports that are available if anyone would like to meet with me. I'd be happy to meet with your staff or with people individually just to go over some of the security weaknesses that were found with those two facilities. What I'd like to do now basically is just turn it over first to Mr. Buhite in Anchorage, who is the superintendent of McLaughlin, so that he can talk a little more specifically about what he's seeing as part of the change in the nature of our youth detention facilities, and then Mr. Thompson in Fairbanks. So with that, Madam Chairman, and your permission, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Buhite.
Are there any questions for Ms. Clark before we go to Mr. Buhite and Mr. Thompson? Senator Sharp.
Thank you. Do you have a breakdown of the $1,247,4 between the two facilities? Or
Yes, we do, Senator Sharp. It's approximately $150,000 for McLaughlin and the rest, $350,000, basically, for the Fairbanks facility.
Come again? What was that again?
$850,000 for McLaughlin.
Oh,
I thought you said $150,000.
So did I.
$350,000. I'm sorry. $850,000. And you can see McLaughlin is substantially bigger than the Fairbanks facility.
With that, we'll go first to Mr. Buhite in Anchorage and then to Mr. Thompson in Fairbanks. Mr. Buhite.
Chair. McLaughlin has experienced in the last year some situations that were unprecedented in our experience. I've been at the facility since it opened in 68 and since 85. This last year, we had four separate incidents. Most serious was a drive-by shooting, two bullets at the facility, one in a window. Fortunately, as part of the facility that was more secure, the bullet did not penetrate the security glass on the inside of the building. We had two subsequent small explosive devices placed in the facility. One shattered an exterior window, one didn't. And then probably not so much serious from a danger standpoint, but we had a situation we had gang graffiti or tagging, as it's called, on one of our cottages. That incident, what concerns us about that is sort of the escalation and the boldness of the gang members coming onto the campus and putting their graffiti on the building. If you can look at the photographs, the original concept of the facility was it was an open campus, open to the community. And as a philosophy, that has worked relatively well over the years. Unfortunately, as the community has changed, specifically, we believe the openness to the community has now become a liability. And those are the issues we'd like to address with the security enhancement.
Specific questions for Mr. Buhite, with the understanding that there is a confidential report. that you might want to share one-on-one. Senator Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How many people have escaped since you've been, 69 you said at the beginning, how many people have escaped from McLaughlin in that time? So that I understand it, it's zero for the secure part, which is very commendable on your part, and for the other part, it's down to 8 last year or something like that?
It's been down a single digit, I think, last year was the year.
Walkaways is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it has been a single digit. I think we've been back up into low teens, 96.
One last question, Madam Chair. What is the bed capacity of McLaughlin, please? Thank you.
I just add, we averaged 192 kids in January this year.
Seeing no further questions for Mr. Buhite, Mr. Thompson?
Yes. Madam Chair, I'm here in Fairbanks.
Mr. Thompson, do you have any comments you'd like to make about the request for the Fairbanks facility?
I would like to underscore what Mr. Buhite regarding the needs of our facilities. The Fairbanks Youth Facility, fortunately, has not experienced any shootings to date. We had one serious incident in which some youths attempted to use a propane torch to break out some residents on our detention unit. One of the problems that we're experiencing over time is due to the configuration of our driveways, there is ready access to our detention unit by the public. And we have, as I spoke to our detention supervisor the other day, regular and ongoing unauthorized contact, both vehicular and pedestrian, with our detention building, kids coming up to windows, people driving behind our building, and a number of the security enhancements that are being asked to be funded have to do with providing barriers prevent that type of access. Primarily, these being not to keep kids in, but to keep the public out and to prevent incidents such as that occurred this last summer from happening again.
Questions for Mr. Thompson? Senator Ward.
For the security perimeter, does that have to be a new dollar amount, or did the person that looked at the security perimeter look at just restricting road access through the Fairbanks city? There's somebody, she's nodding here.
Madam Chairman, Senator Ward, yes, part of the recommendation is basically to restrict some access. As you can see with the Fairbanks facility, right now there is no restricted access to the back of the facility, and that is one of the recommendations.
Okay. Janet, while we've got you here, why don't we do the Community Health EMS Services? Please. That would be Section 4C.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I believe Mark Johnson from our Emergency Medical Services should be in Anchorage as well, but I will go ahead and make some opening comments. This request initially was requested by the department for the capital budget for FY98. After review and discussion, the governor's office thought it was, again, urgent nature to bring forward. Basically, what this request will do will be to provide different communication equipment to meet some of the gaps that are currently on the highway systems for emergency medical services, as well as for some of those deteriorating radio situations that are on the rural highways. In particular, there have been some incidents that have occurred recently that Mr. Johnson relayed to me that have been very serious. In particular, there was a crash recently on the Seward Highway where the Copper Landing Volunteer Fire Department ambulance crew arrived on the scene and discovered multiple victims. They had their hands full in taking care of the individuals. They happened to be in a dead spot where there was no radio coverage at all. They were unable to call for additional EMS assistance or for any medical medevac helicopter. The physicians at Central Peninsula General Hospital said that this clearly caused, this delay definitely caused impact to the patients getting care. There are other situations that Mr. Johnson, I think, can talk about if he is in Anchorage. If not, I can go down a list, but there are different situations that have occurred on the highway systems where volunteer fire agencies, volunteer ambulance services, because of the lack of radio communication, there are lives at risk that continue to happen. I think this continues to become a concern, and it has been an ongoing issue for some time, I would say. But again, the urgent nature is that the feeling is we'd like to get these problems resolved, particularly before the summer season yet again hits us and we have a lot of tourists traveling those roads and some of these situations could occur again. So, Madam Chairman, I'm not sure if Mark Johnson is in Anchorage, but maybe we could see if he is available.
Madam Chairman, this is Mark Johnson, Anchorage.
Mr. Johnson, let me see if there are any questions. Senator Sharp has a question.
Through the chair, no, the question was, does anyone else have any backup for this one? Or is there any backup detailing the kind of equipment?
There is backup. That's what I was searching for, and it looks like this. And at the top it says 4C, and it's three pages out of the budget book, capital projects book.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, that's a correct backup. It was a capital request.
I was having a hard time finding it. I discovered mine. It was actually on, mine was pretty near the top, actually, of my pile.
10 pages down.
Madam Chairman, would you like Mr. Johnson to proceed?
Sure. I think everybody has the right piece of paper to look at the same time. Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As Janet Clark said, this is a problem that we've wrestled with for a long time, but in some parts of the state it's getting worse because some of the equipment that was purchased now over 20 years ago is breaking down with increasing frequency. And we're working closely with the telecommunications engineers and the Department of Administration who have helped us over the years as we've developed systems. And they basically said that some of the breakdowns that we're experiencing are
Mr. Johnson, if this is funded, will there be a competitively bid RFP for the equipment?
Yes, I was just speaking with the Larry Nakata of Telecommunications the other day, and we were discussing that issue because of the fact that, as a supplemental, I understand that this is FY97 money, so we've already discussed how to handle that.
For the record, my husband works for Chugach Regional Corporation, which has a partly owned subsidiary which does deal in telecommunications equipment and might be a bidder on that, but since it's competitively bid, I don't believe that there would be a conflict, but it is on the record. Annalee, did you have another comment?
I just wanted to mention that there will be other items relating to emergency communications that will come forward as part of our FY98 capital budget. As Janet mentioned, this had originally been submitted that way. As I was reviewing the capital budget items for 98, there were a few items like this, like the perimeter fence for McLaughlin and the Fairbanks facility, the boiler in Fairbanks, that I felt really should be sped up. And partly, as Janet mentions, we've got tourist seasons coming. We know that there are some real liability concerns. And this project was evaluated along with a number of other emergency communications projects from all of the departments. This was the number one priority by the group of folks working on emergency communications of what they felt we were really in a much more urgent situation. But there will be other things that come to you as part of the overall emergency communications package. This has, I think, a different timing urgency than the others.
Senator Phillips, did you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. I'd like to have Mr. Johnson give me a call a little later today. Question is, on the Alaska Highway, you have some dead spots, or is it the aged equipment?
Through the chair, Senator Phillips, I'd be happy to give you a call later.
Yeah, I don't want to take the committee's time right now, but I have some suggestions you might may or may not be aware of. I'll just give me a call.
I'll be happy to discuss that with you, and specifically on the Alaska Highway.
All right. Thanks.
Further questions? Thank you. Why don't we plan Monday morning to begin with Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, Section 3 in the original governor's bill, Disaster Relief Fund, and proceed down in order. Let's see. Well, the members be here Monday morning? Will you be here Monday morning? Senator Adams, will you be here Monday morning? Senator Adams, will you be here Monday morning? Senator Donnelly, will you be here Monday morning? Okay. What about Senator Parnell? Will be. Okay. I'll assume that I'll have a quorum. Let's plan on beginning at 8:30 on Monday morning. To carry forward with the supplementals. Yeah, but this is Thursday and that's Monday. Who knows?
Like you said,
it can be summer by then. We will, as I said, make teleconferencing available for the administration people who would like to join us by teleconference. If the committee and the room could please come back to order tomorrow morning at 9. Senator Phillips, tomorrow morning at 9 is a subcommittee hearing of the Welfare Reform Subcommittee. However, I would encourage all the members of the committee to be present at that again, since it pulls pieces from so many of the different budgets. So that'll be at 9 Friday morning, and then we'll meet again at 8:30 on Monday. With that, we're adjourned.